Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song? Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian concluded his study on the key chapters of the Bible in our last lesson and will now begin teaching a new series that will be taking us through the Acts of the Apostles. And in preparation for this fascinating study, we'll be looking at a special lesson today entitled The Purpose of the Church, which is taken from Matthew chapter 16. So let's follow along as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
We're going to begin a study through the Acts of the Apostles. But before we go into that, I wanted to look at a couple of different sort of topical studies that I think will be preparatory for us as we enter into our more in-depth study. And both of these messages will be really somewhat of an overview of the general message of the book of Acts. So we're going to look at the subject of the purpose of the church, and we're going to read from Matthew 16, verse 13. Let me read it to you from there. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So Jesus said that he was going to build his church. What is the primary purpose of the church? Why did the Lord decide to build this thing called the church? Why didn't he just come and save us and take us out of this place? What is his purpose for leaving us here in the world? That's an important question. And of course, there's been a variety of answers that have been given to that question. And I think there's been a lot of confusion over it. But I think as we look at the book of Acts, I think we're going to really discover through our study of the book of Acts what God's intention was when he decided that he was going to build a church. So what is the purpose of the church? Titus 2:14, I think, gives us the answer. In Titus 2:14... Paul the Apostle, he said this. He said, "Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." That is really an answer to the question. Now, there are other answers and there are other things that we could point to as the purpose of the church, but I personally think that based upon the book of Acts, the purpose of the church is just as Paul stated here, that Jesus Christ would have a special people here on the earth that were zealous for good works, that he could have a people here in this world that were committed to serving him and to accomplishing his will, to getting his plan carried out in this world. So, a people zealous for good works. There are many good works, but the one good work that encompasses all the others is the work of evangelizing and making disciples of all nations. And I think as we look again at Acts, that is what we're going to see. That was the thrust. That was, I think, the purpose that the early church leaders had at the forefront of their mind. They knew that they were to spread this message all throughout the world. They, of course, had been given what we call the Great Commission by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus had said to them just prior to his ascension, he had said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That is what was at the forefront of their thinking process. That is what they set out to do, and that is what, to an amazing degree, they accomplished in a relatively short amount of time. And that's what we're going to see as we get into the book of Acts in detail. Now, they did this by really doing three things. We're talking about the purpose of the church, which is the fulfillment of the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. How did they do it? They did it in three ways. They did it by preaching the gospel, by teaching the word of God, and by exhortation to the people of God. And we want to look at each one of those individually and really just see if we can get a clear picture of what they were doing and of what we are to be doing today as well. So they were, first of all, preaching. What does it mean to preach? We talk about preaching or preachers or, you know, but what is really the biblical understanding of preaching? Well, preaching is the proclamation or the announcement of the good news. And the good news, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the message that God has forgiven our sins through Christ and that we can come into a relationship with God and inherit eternal life by simply putting our faith and trust in Christ. So preaching is a proclamation or an announcement of that good news. Now, preaching is generally directed toward unbelievers. We are to proclaim the message to unbelievers. We are to announce this message of the gospel. And it's vitally important that we get the message out. Because Paul, in a place, he wrote and asked the question, how can people believe in whom they have not heard, and how can they hear unless somebody preached to them? So you see, sometimes we think that, oh, people are just going to get saved if we put a bumper sticker on our car, or, you know, if we just pray a little bit for them, or if we're really nice when we're around them, that's going to do it. Those things could make a contribution to it, but faith comes by hearing. They've got to hear the word of God. And in order to hear it, it's got to be preached to them. And so preaching is directed toward unbelievers, and it is carried out by gifted evangelists as well as ordinary Christians. And that's what we're going to see as we go through our study in the book of Acts. Gifted evangelists preach the gospel, ordinary Christians preach the gospel as well. That was the pattern in the history recorded in Acts, and that has been the pattern all throughout the rest of the history of the church right down to today. So as we study Acts, we'll find the gospel preached by gifted evangelists such as Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, Barnabas, and Apollos. as well as by ordinary Christians. We read in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that there was a persecution that arose, and as a result of the persecution, the believers were scattered all throughout the region, and it says that they went everywhere preaching the good news. The ordinary Christians, the average everyday believer, as they went out and about their daily activity, they went out sharing the good news with others. We also find occasions where preaching is directed toward groups of people, such as the thousands that Peter preached to on the day of Pentecost. We also find occasions where the preaching is happening on more of an individual level. Think of Philip there in Acts chapter 8, who preaches the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. Or think of Paul and Barnabas, who preach the gospel to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. And so we see evangelism on a sort of a larger scale, maybe you might want to call it mass evangelism or group evangelism, but we see individual evangelism as well. That's what we see in the scriptures. That's what we are to seek to carry out today. We have that calling as well as they did to get the good news out to the unsaved. And today, we do it through gifted evangelists to groups of people. We also do it on an individual level. And we should never make the mistake of thinking that it's only these gifted people that are, sort of in the public eye that are the evangelist. They are just part of the evangelistic endeavor that the Spirit of God is working. But each individual Christian is also a very vital part, and sometimes don't have anyone to share their message with unless the individual Christians have done their job by sharing the Lord on a personal level with their friends or their neighbors or their coworkers or people on the streets or people in the shops or people in the park or people on the beach or wherever. But you see, evangelism, sharing the gospel, telling people the good news, that is the calling of the church, and it's the blessed privilege of every single believer. It's the blessed privilege of every single believer, not just those designated evangelists, but every believer. What a great privilege to be able to share the gospel with people. But that is what we are supposed to be doing. That's what God wants to lead us to do by the work of the Spirit in our lives. So the purpose of the church is to get the gospel out, to preach the gospel. And then we see that another purpose of the church was that of teaching. Preaching and now teaching. Now, the difference between the two is that where preaching is directed primarily at unbelievers in order to bring them the good news so they can come into the kingdom of God, the family of God, the body of Christ. Teaching now is directed primarily toward believers with the intent of bringing them to maturity in the faith. And so once we preach to people, then we have the responsibility of discipleship. As we read there from Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have spoken to you. Now, one of the things that's happened many times is that where the church has been zealous for evangelism and zealous for preaching and has perhaps gone out and got the message out, many times they have left off with just the evangelistic effort and not followed through with that discipleship, the teaching. So people have been led to salvation, but they've never been taken beyond just that initial salvation into a place of spiritual maturity so they can, grow up and become strong, effective Christians. And as important as preaching is, teaching is equally important. Because if we simply preach to unbelievers and get them converted and don't give them anything that'll help them to grow up, well, the devil, of course, will come along and perhaps snatch away what was sown or keep them in a, you know, an immature state where they never really come to bear any lasting fruit for the Lord. So making disciples, that is what they did next. That is what the church was doing back then. And of course, this is what we are to be doing now. Again, as you look through the book of Acts, you find that they're in Jerusalem. They were meeting on a regular basis. And as they would come together, they would continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's what we're doing today. That's what every church ought to be doing. That's the model that was laid out for us. That's the God-inspired model for what the church is to be doing in regard to believers. Continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They did that in Jerusalem. We know that Peter, James, John, and then James, the brother of the Lord, they were all in a leading position in the church in Jerusalem. And for many years, they were there faithfully discipling the believers. They were there teaching the saints who came to faith in Jerusalem. And then we look at Paul as he goes out in his ventures, as he goes out in his missionary journeys, and he goes out and preaches the gospel. He was a preacher. He was an evangelist. But he didn't simply go into a community, preach the gospel, see some people respond, and then take off for the next place. He first of all made sure that those that had come to faith were going to be taken care of. Sometimes he stayed himself. He stayed a year and a half in Corinth. He stayed 3.5 years in Ephesus. If Paul couldn't stay, he would leave someone like Timothy or send Titus to them to help them out. But they understood that it was vitally important that people, once they get converted, that they really get plugged in to the Word of God. And that, of course, is the model that we are following and we want to continue to follow. I remember years ago when the Lord led us over to our first outreach endeavor in Eastern Europe. We went into northeastern Yugoslavia. And after some frustrations early on in the trip, we finally landed in this city that it just seemed that there was something special about this place. It seemed like God wanted to do something. There were lots of young people around, and there was a real sense of anticipation. And there we were. We went out to the streets, and we began to share. And sure enough, as we began to share, many of the young people gathered around and were very interested in what we had to say. And so as a result of that time that we spent there, about a dozen or so young guys and girls gave their life to Jesus Christ. Now, this was a trip that I think was about a 21-day trip, and we probably hooked up with them about halfway through it. So we had about a week or so to spend with them and to just try to encourage them and all. But, you know, as the time came for us to leave, to head back home, I looked at that small group of people and I thought, you know, if we just leave them, they'll never survive. They're never going to make it. We have got to do something. We've got to take care of them. What are we going to do? And I didn't know what to do at the time, but I just looked at them and I said, you guys, hold on. Just hold on for a month. I promise you that we'll have somebody back here to carry on what we've started within a month's time. And the Lord worked that out. And now today we have several churches beside that one that were born out of that initial effort. So you see, it's so vitally important that we follow the biblical pattern of following up on those who come to faith and making sure we get them plugged in. Maybe you're a new Christian, and maybe you're wondering, well, how do I grow? What are the steps? What should I do? Well, plug in. That's the key. Just get as involved as you can. Just come as often as you can and stay in your Bible and get around Christians and get people to pray for you and just participate in anything and everything that's happening. You do that and you'll grow. you'll become strong. And if you have maybe been ministering to someone, or maybe you've led someone to the Lord and you're wondering, well, what do I do for them now? Just bring them along. Get them plugged in. There's really no excuse for anyone ever falling through the cracks, because we have just every conceivable thing going on to help people. But the whole goal is to help them to get plugged in, to get established. And so they were preaching to the unbelievers, and they were getting converted, and then they were coming along and they were teaching them. They were taking them through the scriptures, the apostles' doctrine. And this, of course, is what the church is supposed to be doing. Now, you just don't find that happening in many of the churches today. I would venture to say you don't find that happening in most of the churches today. And because that's not happening, Christians are not being strengthened. And people are not really maturing as they should be maturing. And subsequently, the church isn't very strong. The church doesn't have a great impact on the community because of the weakness of the individual members. But it goes back to a lack of teaching. You see, the Word of God is the power of God to transform our lives. It's a miracle how it happens. It's unexplainable. It's a supernatural thing. But as we just subject ourselves to the Word, as we open it up ourselves and meditate on it, or as we sit before those that God has gifted to teach it, something supernatural happens. As the Word comes, it does something in us. It strengthens us. It builds us up in the faith. It brings us into a maturity in Christ, and it enables us to walk in victory, and it enables us to impact our world around us. Satan, as we mentioned in our spiritual warfare series, he is a wise strategist. He knows right where to go to prevent the church from really having any sort of an impact against his kingdom. He goes right at the Word of God and he attacks it. And he tries to keep Christians from getting into it. He tries to keep the leaders from putting an emphasis on it and teaching it. And he'll distract them with a number of different things. Oh, the Bible, you know, it's sort of outdated and boring. You need to be more relevant. Just talk about things that people are concerned about today. Talk about the economy. Talk about politics. Talk about family living. Talk about those little subjects. People need to have some practical, where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff. You know, when you're talking to them about the book of Acts, what does that have to do with anything? That's the devil speaking. Well, you see, that's where the power of God is, in the Word of God. The church prospers and flourishes under the teaching of the Word, and that's what was happening back in the very beginning, and that is what is to be happening today. And as we look at Acts, as we go through it, what we're going to see over and over again is really that the book of Acts is the model for the church. It's the only portion of Scripture that gives us a close-up and personal view of what was happening in the church. Now, why did God record that for us? I believe with all my heart that he recorded it so we would have something to follow. So we could look at that thing and say, okay, that's how it works. This is the way it's supposed to be done. And you know, I've got to just tell you on a personal note, I really wrestled all week in prayer. You can ask my wife. I've been miserable in that. I've just really been, you know, trying to just sense from the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do? Well, I came down to four different options. But you know, the interesting thing is, this past week I was up doing a conference up in Northern California with Chuck and Don and John, and a good friend of mine was up there, and we got to talking. And I said, well, what are you teaching right now? And he said, man, I'm teaching the book of Acts, and it's just revolutionizing our ministry. And the women's ministry came and said, we want to teach Acts. And the men's ministry came and said, we want to teach Acts. So it's basically the whole church is teaching Acts. You know, so as he said that, I'm thinking, oh, Acts, well, that, you know, maybe, Lord, maybe you're speaking to me. You know, it was in the back of my mind. And then the other night, John and I were together, and he asked me, he said, so what are you teaching? And I just sort of looked at him. I said, you know, I'm still... And he goes, have you ever thought of doing Acts? And I said, oh, maybe the Lord's speaking now.
We'll continue with more on the importance of the teaching of the Word in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, The Purpose of the Church. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3012. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.